bad, naughty, nasty computer. Shame, 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 naughty computer. Naughty, nice computer. Nice, soft, naughty computer. Oh, computer!
Chad is like a lion tamer with those naughty computers. He whips them into shape.
I try.
With his whip, of course. Isn't that what you'd use?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. As a lion tamer, sure.
As a lion tamer. We have a whip sound. We haven't used many sounds this week, which I'm sure people are thankful for. There's your whip, where you can whip things into shape.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have an excellent, excellent newsletter this week, if I might say so myself.
Excellent?
Excellent.
How excellent?
Superb.
You know, I read through that thing and thought, you know, that's pretty excellent.
Yeah?
Tip of the week, megapixels for the masses.
Did you read my tip of the week?
Of course I read your tip of the week.
I'm pretty proud of it. I think a lot of people will get some use out of that. Everybody's buying digital cameras now, and I don't think very many people know what a megapixel is and why they need it and what it does for them.
And why are you out there spending all this money for a 7 or 8 megapixel camera when a 3, 4, or 5 would probably do fine for the pictures you're going to take? We can maybe save you a few bucks if you haven't already invested, or if you have, maybe save you a little bit of drive space or make it so it's a little bit easier to email or send those photos that you've taken if you do have one of those 6, 8, 10, 12, 50,000 megapixel cameras.
Yep. Yeah, most of you probably don't need the highest end, largest amount of megapixels out on the market right now, so don't spend the money.
Keyboard shortcut of the week, F1, we already talked about that. That is for help. So if you're in Windows itself generically, it'll bring up Windows Help. Or if you're within a program, it'll bring up that program's help as long as that program was written properly for Windows. And help is always a good place to start when you have a question, especially on how do I do this, that, or the other thing.
It's your first line of defense.
eBay rethinking e-waste. eBay may be getting into the recycling electronics or recycling computers game.
Yep. Allow you to buy and sell your used equipment, which is already being done. But
right.
Also allowing you to donate and recycle.
Cool enough. A computer for your wrist. Yes, it's a wristwatch and a PDA all-in-one from Fossil. And this thing is kind of cool. It even comes with a little baby, tiny, little itsy-bitsy, weeny-teeny little stylus that lets you write, sort of, kind of, on your wristwatch. So you can keep notes and maybe have an address book and keep all those important phone numbers. It could be your little, instead of black book, a black watch, huh?
Yeah. One disclaimer, I understand it's not for a petite wrist. It's kind of a larger watch, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be probably a little bit for more of a manly man's wrist,
yes.
If you know what I'm talking about. Not that you ladies can't get away with that, but, you know, you might want to look at and touch, actually physically look, before you buy, and maybe not buy online on something like this unless you've seen it somewhere else and made sure it's going to work for you. Of course, another thing in the newsletter, the difference between XP Home and Pro. A lot of people say, well, what's the difference besides the fact that it's like twice the price?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people figure, oh, that's just the next, that's the upgrade, that's better. But it may not be right for everybody, and I don't think it is.
They're designed differently for different types of users, and just because it's called XP Pro doesn't mean that some people in their homes wouldn't benefit from the additional features and things that are built into Pro. So
agreed.
That stuff is in there. Of course, Ken's columns, what do you do with your old computer? It's all about recycling and getting rid of that computer in a good way. And if you want a preview of that, it's, of course, at our free help website, computerproblems.com. You look for Ken's columns, and you can read through that, or you can wait for Monday's Tribune newspaper. And is East Valley Tribune?
I believe so.
One of those Tribunes you'll see in the normal, regular place. Ken's column that talks about what do you do with your old computer. We already talked about our free download of the week and our Geek Speak of the week. And, of course, this week's show is all about networking 101, the basics of networking. And I think we've talked to a few people that had at least a network. Whether or not they've been networking issues, I don't know. But if you want to get cool tips and cool tricks and lots of good information, all free of spam and free of advertisements, you can subscribe to that newsletter. Also, by the way, if you subscribe, you'll be subscribing to the follow-up to this radio show, which we send out anything that we walk somebody through or extra tidbits of things that happen on the show. You can subscribe at our website at datadoctors.com and look for the big box that says subscribe. You put in your email address. You'll go through a little confirmation process so that we know that you are who you say you are, and it's pretty much as easy as that.
Help us help you.
Well, you're not really helping us a lot,
true.
But you're helping yourself.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
There you go. Help yourself help yourself.
Right. Help yourself help yourself, or your computer, or your technology, or maybe you can help yourself help your neighbor.
Ah.
Right? And not me. I mean, my neighbors already are always asking me to help them with their computer things, which I'm happy to do as long as they're providing the cold beverages. So, anyway, shall we jump back in on the phones and see if Steve, who has some kind of hard drive problem, might have his fears tamed away by Lion Trainer / Computer Technology Fear Eliminator, Chad and Brandon?
Steve? I'll take that under advisement.
Welcome to the Computer Corner, Steve.
Thank you. I've got actually two hard drives and two computers. One of them, the hard drive wouldn't boot, and it's giving me this, can't find NLMBR.
Okay.
Master boot record, but how do you correct that? The other one is the hard drive itself had a crash on the boot partition, but yet if I boot with a different hard drive, that second hard drive can be seen.
Okay.
Is there any way to recover that boot partition?
Maybe. When you said the hard drive crashed, and to some people that means something physically happened, like it started ticking or it was dropped or something bad happened, and to other people that means
it was a hardware failure because I ran the diagnostics on it and it failed.
You ran some kind of drive diagnostics on the hard drive and it's saying it's failed?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yet I can still see all this other data area.
I would take advantage of that opportunity and get that data off, because
yes,
if you're running some kind of diagnostic software that's telling you the drive has failed, it's only a matter of time before you won't be able to get that information off as well. So if you care about that information, get that stuff backed up, stop using that drive. If you don't care about that information, then if you want a chance at it, you can keep going. Now, there are some tools you can buy that'll help you repair boot sectors and things.
Okay, I've been able to recover all the data off of it, but there's some areas that I'd like to get off that may still be there if I can get to them.
Well, you say you've recovered all the data off, but then there's some stuff you...
I'd say 98% of it. But there's some other little things that, if I can recover those, they're kind of important, but if it's gone, it's gone.
Okay, well, there's really no way to know if it's gone unless, I mean, if you've tried what
just
you've tried...
Tool, like you said, there's some tools I might be able to use to get into that area.
Well, no, the tools I was talking about is ways to repair the parts of Windows that are damaged that's not allowing the drive to boot up. I wasn't talking about necessarily repair tools
right,
to repair
right,
data
yeah,
that's damaged.
And,
so
and should you repair sectors that that data resides on, chances are that data is going to be lost. So
okay.
You've kind of, before you move forward, you've got to make a determination, because any advice I'm going to give you is stuff that potentially you're going to make it impossible to get that data. So if it's
right,
all important
that
to you... You know what?
That.
If it was me, I would. If and there was nothing that was truly super important, and I already gotten everything that I cared about truly off of this thing, I would. I'd stop using the drive if something told me that there was a hardware problem with it. But if I was going to use that drive for whatever reason, I would start by formatting the drive and not do a quick format, but a full format, so that it goes and finds any bad sectors, marks them properly, and sets the drive back up to be used, and then go ahead and put the data back on that I cared about after I installed an operating system and things. Now, I wouldn't probably rely on that drive very much, because it's already most likely developed some bad areas, and it's going to develop more. That's the nature of hard drives.
Right.
It's
okay.
kind of the snowball effect.
Okay, well, that takes care of that right now. The other drive it was working fine, and then suddenly boot up, and I get this, I think it's NLMBR error. Can't find NLMBR.
Okay, that means that probably something with the operating system is damaged. It probably, you know, I don't know whether it's hardware or software at this point, but assuming that it's not a hardware issue, there are some tools and utilities out there. Most drive manufacturers make some tools that help you easily determine whether or not the drive physically has problems. So you'd start there, make sure there's not physically problems. Again, the quick, easy way is if you reformat the drive, it's going to fix those issues, but it's also going to get rid of your data. There also might be some tools and things out there. A company called PowerQuest makes tools like Partition Magic.
Okay.
And
I have Acronis.
Never heard of it, but
it's like a super Partition Magic, basically.
Okay. It might have some utilities in there that lets you recreate boot records or partition sectors or set up FAT tables. But we're getting into some really kind of geeky terms and things. But basically, you can try to experiment with some of those things and see if that might correct its ability to boot. But you may be in the same situation as the other drive, where you got to get the data off that you care about and kind of start all over, depending on your level of expertise and the tools you have.
I'm pretty sure it's not a hardware issue on this one.
All right.
Can I give you a plug for some free software that I know about?
Tell you what we'll do. We'll put you on hold, and we'll have Chad pick you up and he can decide if it's something that we can include in the newsletter, because we got to be careful about those kinds of things here on the air. But just sit tight there for a minute or so, and we'll find out about that. What do we got here? Gosh, we got about 4 minutes before we're going to go to a break, and that, I apologize, was the most geeky call we've had in quite some time. Not that, you know, I'm talking bad about the caller. I'm just saying that the information, the content.
Yeah. People are probably going, what?
Huh?
In the world?
Exactly. Skeet, who I think is a fairly regular caller to the show, has a PDA and has questions about some kind of memory cards for his PDA. Skeet, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Yeah, hi, guys.
How you doing? Yes, sir. What can we help you with?
Well, I've got a PDA, which is what, a personal data assistant?
Personal digital assistant, data assistant, yeah, whatever.
Close enough. It's like the digital doctors, right?
I don't know about that, but okay.
Oh, okay.
It's supposedly something that, supposedly something that's going to make your life easier and more organized.
Yeah, that's what they say. Anyway, the instructions say that it will take Type 1 or Type 2 flash memory cards.
Does it say what kind of type of these? Like, is it in some format like a CF card or a SD, or does it give you any kind of specifics?
It didn't say in there. In Braille, the only thing I have is a quick start card. They don't provide manuals in Braille for these things.
Is there a slot? And if I recall correctly, Skeet is one of our sighted users or people that calls in that doesn't necessarily see so well. So is there a slot on this PDA that you can feel, in this case then see, that some kind of device would fit into?
I'd say it's maybe an inch to an inch and a quarter, maybe an inch and a half wide.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely, just the width you're describing is probably going to be for compact flash or CF.
Yeah, that's it. Compact flash.
Oh, compact flash. Okay, that's the type of card it would take. And when they say type 1 or type 2, they mean basically any compact flash card that you're going to find out there. If you look carefully at it, it's going to be described as type 1 or type 2. Type 2 is, of course, the newer. That's probably most likely what you're going to be finding.
Okay.
But it's backwards compatible with type 1, and it's just a little storage card that you could put in to either store additional things on or back up the PDA or do different things like that with. They come in capacities generally these days anywhere from about 128 megabytes on up to a couple of gigabytes, believe
Ooh,
it or not.
That's quite a bit.
And you're going to spend in the neighborhood of, let's say, for a 512 meg compact flash card, which is quite a bit of storage space, you're going to spend probably in the neighborhood of about $50 for that thing.
Sounds like they might be a little more expensive than a thumb drive then.
About the same price, actually. They're actually, the guts of what's inside is pretty much the exact same thing. It's just the interface or the way it plugs in is a little bit different. But compact flash is probably the most common of the flash memory card types that are out there.
But it sounds like any compact flash card is going to work for you, because your PDA will take both type 1 and type 2.
Now, what that slot also can be used for, besides memory cards, is there are a number of devices, like they make a little tiny little like webcam thing that can plug into that, where you can actually take pictures, and it's a card that basically is just a way to interface with the PDA to turn into a camera. They also make wireless network cards or Bluetooth devices, so you can communicate with other devices.
Yeah, Bluetooth was mentioned.
Yep, they also make, I believe they make a little thing that you plug into that CF slot, and on the other end it gives you basically a 15-pin VGA plug where you could plug into a monitor of some sort. Maybe let's say you want to do a presentation. Instead of having to lug a laptop around, you could have the presentation on your PDA and output to a standard monitor or a projection device of some sort.
Okay.
And plug in. So that slot is very versatile, and it's a way of interfacing. It's kind of like the USB of the PDA, if you will. Let you interface with a lot of different things. And then there's even some combination devices out that I've seen that are a combination wireless network card and 256 meg flash memory all in one that fits into that slot. So you have lots of choices of what you can do with that. But when you go to the store to buy this thing, when you buy it online, just make sure that it is a compact flash, type 1 or 2, which just about anything you're going to look at will fall into those specs. That's compact flash, and you'll be in great shape.
Okay.
Does that answer the question that you might have had?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, and have a good time with that cool PDA. Is that something that was a holiday gift?
No, it was purchased by the state, and hopefully I'll be using it when I become employed. Using
Excellent.
It as kind of a note-taker, kind of a do-it-all-in-one-package type thing.
Well, I hope it actually truly then does become your personal digital assistant.
Yeah, me too. The price of the thing is awful, but...
yeah, they're not cheap, but they can be very, very useful because they're very, very versatile.
Well, this thing's got a Braille display on it, and that's what really boosted the price. It cost $5,700.
A Braille display. I got to check that thing out.
Neat.
I got to see one of these things, or touch one of these things more appropriately, huh?
Okay.
Well, I'll find one somewhere and check it out. If not, I'll track you down, Skeet, and come touch yours.
Cool.
All right, Skeet, thanks for the call.
I'll even let you.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, that went into a whole weird place. We're going to go ahead and take a break because Chad needs to.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we've got our final segment right here, the Computer Corner News, Radio 620 KTAR, back in just a flash.